This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome back to yet another preview episode of Green and White, brought to you by Argyle Life. The Green Army head up to Elland Road as Leeds United host Plymouth Argyle in the fourth round of the FA Cup. The fourth round of the FA Cup isn't for everyone. Ben, let's start with you. How do you see this one going? Nice, easy, open-ended question.
Depends which team both managers pick, doesn't it? You imagine Leeds, their second string team is probably even higher above our second string team than their first string team is above our first string team. That's the embarrassment of their riches. I think it's a really good opportunity, though, for Foster to blood some of the new, whether everyone, you know, there's some cup tie players, whether everyone will be fit enough who's come in. I know there's some concern over some of the players' fitness. I don't know, but it certainly also gives an opportunity to run an eye over in a competitive game some of the players he maybe hasn't got tape on in his squad. How do I see it going? Sadly, I think it's going to be a Leeds victory. I can't see anything. But, however, it would be a real statement if Argyle could get something. I was really looking forward to taking the kids up for this, but they decided that an entire day in the car with me wasn't quite on there.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. I think anybody listening to me on the pod for monologue for more than 10 minutes will understand why they've come to that conclusion. So they're going to have to wait till Stoke in the league for their first away game. But yeah, I was quite gutted because I thought Leeds probably got a pretty good atmosphere for a cup game, whereas, you know, I could imagine going to a bunch of other teams. And hopefully that might get behind the team a little bit, encourage some of the players who might be put into play for the manager to show what they've got, you know, in a big atmosphere, in a big stadium. It might just light a fire under some of them. We might go and nick a result. But I think everyone would prefer for Foster to use it and come away from it and say, yeah, we lost, but I've seen some really encouraging things. I've learned a lot of things about my players, than to come away sort of, you know, winning 3-0, but Morgan Whittaker's pulled his hamstring and, you know, that sort of thing. So I think it's come at a time in the season where it'll be useful for the manager as a window into his team, rather than we want to go on a run. But that said, you know, another extra, what was it, 120 grand, wouldn't go amiss in the kitty for next summer. I don't see us getting anything from it, but it'd certainly be an interesting game to see what side Foster puts out. And I'll certainly be trying to see as much of it as I can. I don't know if it's on any broadcast or not, but I think it'll be a really interesting watch to see what we can learn from it, what we can glean from the selection and the tactics on the day.
Yeah, I think that 120 grand or whatever it is would do nicely in the coffers of El Etifak that would pay for Foster's release. I think, I don't know, they've not been in the media recently about any tax-based players leaving them under a cloud. Don't know where I'm going with that. Sam, obviously on the draw itself then, just how much more exciting would this have been, you know, had we drawn them away any time in the last 5-10 years as to now?
It would have been much more exciting for sure, because Elland Road is a ground that barely any of our fans have done. Leeds is a very daunting experience, I think, to go to as a visiting fan. It's one of the loudest home crowds you'll ever hear, which kind of leads me on to my point looking ahead of the game, really. But yeah, it would have been a much, which I'll come to in a minute. But to answer the question, it would have been a much better draw, without a shadow of a doubt, if we hadn't have played there already this season. I think, obviously, just the fact that we've been there so recently, not even just this season, but so recently, within a 2.5 month span, will put a lot of people off going who may otherwise would have gone and would have found it really exciting. But on the plus side, and I think there is a plus side, revenue. Leeds will sell out because they sell out pretty much every game, home, cup, whatever. And they're pricing tickets at quite a reasonable price. So actually, when we talk about getting a big money-spinning Premier League away game, this is far more of a money spinner for revenue than Fulham, Crystal Palace, Wolves, Bournemouth, anyone like that would have been. We just don't necessarily see it that way because it's a team in the same league as us. But they're going to pack out the ground and it is going to be a money spinner in that sense. We're going to get a good chunk of revenue from the game. As to how I see the game going, I think, if I remember rightly, Joe and John and some others mocked me on the pre-Leeds podcast in the FA Cup game, sorry, in the league game, beg your pardon, about me being too effusive of their team. And I have to say, I am now a little less effusive of their team, having seen a bit more of them on highlights and even on full games. Not because I don't think they've got quality. I think they've got incredible quality. I think Crescenzio Somerville, for me, is the best player in the league. And I think Dan James isn't far behind him. And probably Glenn Kamara, Rampadu, Rodon are all among the better players for their position in the league as well. Where I'm a little bit less high on them as a real promotion candidate than I was is they're quite erratic, quite inconsistent. They certainly away from home lose and draw games they should be winning just because they can't quite get the finishing touch together or they just make, you know, the odd sloppy error at the back. So I think that's where a well-drilled Foster team could exploit them. We can sit deep, we can frustrate them, we can hit them on the break and target their defensive weaknesses. They also, and I think this point hasn't really been picked up on by our fan base, we come right in the middle of an incredibly dense run of fixtures for them. They played today, Sunday, time of recording. They beat Preston 2-1 in a very hard-fought game. Wait. They got a late winner. Yeah, exactly. They got a late winner from the penalty spot in that game. They're going to be playing on Wednesday night, which you will have already heard listening because it's coming out on Friday, but they're going to be playing on Wednesday night against Norwich. And I think it must be a real...
What's the score in that one, Sam?
They won 2-0, I think, or something, because Norwich are rubbish and everyone associated with them should stop interrupting me. Yes. So yes. There's obviously the game on Sunday, the game on Wednesday, playing us on Saturday. And then even then, they are the Friday night game the weekend after. They're playing Bristol City away the Friday night when league fixtures return. So we are smack bang in the middle of a very dense run of fixtures for Leeds United. And I think if they're going to rotate for any game, if they're going to say to Dan James, Crescenzio Somerville, Ethan Ampadu, right lads, we need you for the promotion push, have a game off, it's going to be this one. This is not going to be your first choice Leeds United 11. And look, let's be clear, a rotated Leeds United 11 is still not to be sniffed at. You know, players like Jadon Anthony could come in, Joel Pirro, who's been dropped to the bench for the last few, could come in. We can't write them off just because they rotate. But it's a fact that it could play in our favour. They're not great in the cup. They never have been under pretty much any manager. I think a well-drilled Ian Foster team against a strong but weakened Leeds 11 is capable of getting something. And I just feel... And if Joe was still here, he'd be tutting his head at me for putting a negative on it. I feel there's a bit of a Sod's Law aspect to it. I feel that after saying so long about when is the away win going to come, we're so cursed, we're never going to win away, when it finally does come, it only being in a cup game. I feel that's one of those sort of Sod's Law things that's destined to happen. That the game that finally ends the winless away run will be kind of meaningless. And I just feel that because it's so Sod's Law, that's what I think is going to happen. So I've said it for Ipswich, I've said it for Cardiff, I'm going to say it again for the third time. This is going to be the game when the first away win comes. And if it doesn't come at Leeds, I'm just going to give up saying it. Because I've said it twice. In my slight defence, those are the two away games we should have won. I don't think anyone can argue that. Ipswich, we had two very unlucky injuries and one shocking refereeing decision. And Cardiff, we were the better team and were just let down by Matt Butcher passing the ball into his own net for some reason. So those are the two games that we've come closest to winning, for sure. So third time lucky, we're going to do it. We're going to win at Leeds. That's my prediction.
I'll give you a lot of credit. You are absolutely fantastic at answering every question I've got. Like, genuinely, Sam, you managed to tick off every single one there about rotation, who plays for Leeds. They're hard to break down. And say the line that we're going to win at Leeds, and you've managed to do that all in one answer. Ben,
I was going to say that must be like that was the perfect Sam like monologue. That was like, yeah. I was like, that is like the quintessential Sam monologue. And then for you to come in and say you've answered all your points just makes it even more so. But yeah.
He actually genuinely has. So, like, the first time ever, you've ticked off everything. Ben, that means Sam's already answered it. John previously called Glenn Kamara one of the best players he's ever seen at championship level. Do you think we'll see him on Saturday? How much rotation do you expect from the hosts? So obviously, Sam said a lot, but what sort of lineup are you expecting? Or is that more a question for a Leeds fan?
No, I think that there's so many household names in their second string that, and you forget as well that a bunch of these guys come off after, you know, when they're winning, and unfortunately for them, that sometimes isn't always the case. They've not been able to sort of see out games if they've dominated games, like the Preston game that we're talking about has happened at the time of recording. They should have seen that out and could have rested players. But a lot of these guys will go off if they're sort of 2, 3, 4 up, you know. So it's potentially you'll see either a relatively decent side start, and then once they've sort of put a few past us very early, bring on some of the second string, which aren't much of a downgrade and can probably all get into our squad, if not our starting 11. Or they'll start with them and then, if they need to, bring on some of the bigger guns if they're concerned about the cup, or they might want to be done with the cup run and concentrate on the run-in for the league and for the automatic. So it's potential they might, I'm not going to say they're going to throw it, because no professional sportsman ever consider such a thing unless, you know, they've got a bit of a twisted mind. I think, you know, you want to win every game you're involved in, but it could well be we see more rotation than we might expect. Now, you know, like you mentioned, some of the Kamara, you know, I think there's a lot of players who quite happily play, like in the engine room, could quite happily play every minute of every game. Ampadu is one to me who just seems to just go and go and go. And he doesn't seem to necessarily need to run himself into the ground, because they tend to be in control of most games. So we might see some of those guys get a rest because they don't any other time. You know, if you want specific names, then yeah, you will have to speak to a Leeds fan. But it really is a situation where, well, it wouldn't surprise me if we see like a real sort of youth team, you know, people we haven't seen all season come out and play and just be like, look, it's Plymouth in the cup. Go and make a name for yourself. You know, they've got some wonderful youth projects and prospects on their books. You know, Gray's coming. What's he, 17? Ridiculous talent. You know, they've got... You know,
he's 17. He plays like he's about 27, 28 a lot of the time. He's a fantastic talent. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Probably the biggest sort of, prospect in the championship, if not the country. So, you know, they've got plenty that can come in and still do a job. You'd think, you know, they could still, it's very, you know, and it gives them a taste of men's football. You know, they are above us, like we're talking about needing to sort of blood some of our youngsters, or, you know, some of the players we've brought in, right? Wayne, people have suggested they need to go out, maybe learn down a level. Well, ironically, at Leeds, aim is to be back in the Premier League again. The Championship is sort of, you know, or the FA Cup against a potentially weakened lower half of the table side, which we are to them. Might be the perfect opportunity for them to blood some of those sort of players. So, yes, there's going to be a rotation, but just quite how far the rotation is going to go, it could be either. It could be we want to see, you know, we want to win this quite comfortably. We'll send out a relatively strong side. It could be the complete opposite and give us a good chance of nicking something. And that wouldn't surprise me. That'd be quite interesting to see. I always like seeing, you know, new prospects and stuff. So, yeah, you'll have to get a Leeds fan on to sort of dig out some of those names, those specifics, because, you know, I didn't bother sort of going and checking who's been storming it in the under-21s Premier League or the whatever it is their youth setup plays in. But, you know, I know it's disappointing. It's poor from me, isn't it? It's poor from me. But
even off the top of your head, right, you're thinking they've got like Carl Darlow on the bench. They've got Charlie Cresswell, if he hasn't already moved on, who was, you know, tearing up for Millwall last season. They've got Joe Gelhard, who's, you know, got goals in the Premier League. Like, that's just off the top of my head. They've got, I'm sure, Patrick Bamford will most probably start, although he's starting to creep back into their first team now. But, like,
Gelhard's a player who's barely featured, and he's someone who I thought would be absolutely brilliant for us. He'll be an absolute monstrous upgrade for us. So the fact that you can bring someone on like that who harasses the ball, who harangues players, is sort of like, it, like you say, even if you're just talking about the, you know, the bottoms of the bench fillers, you know, they're still more than good enough to give us a game.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, Sam, talking of monstrous upgrades for us, Ben Wayne notched in the previous fixture between the sides. Did you expect him to start? How many changes are you expecting us to make? With the caveat that we're obviously recording this straight after our post-Cardiff podcast and Ian Foster might chuck in somebody who's only signed late Friday night.
What I would say is we didn't make many changes to the Sutton game, and that was a game where we kind of really could have. So it sort of suggests to me that the club are taking the FA Cup seriously. Yes, you could argue that was due to nitpicking the team, whereas this is going to be Foster picking the team, but we know that those two are very much aligned on strategy. Obviously, Dewsnip is not going to micromanage every little thing, but I think on stuff like, you know, strategy, maximising income for the club, that they're fairly aligned. So I think they clearly back us to be able to burn the candle at both ends, if you like. They back us to be able to go on a bit of a cup run and still fight for survival. So I could be wrong. I could, you know, open up my phone at 2 o'clock and see that Callum Burton, Ben Wayne, Matt Butcher are all starting, but I don't think that'll be the case. I think it'll be a pretty strong team. There might be one or two rotated out. Pleguezuelo might get a game. Callum Wright will probably get a game because Devine is cup tied. But yeah, Houghton and Randall will come in for Forshaw and JB, who are cup tied. So I think there are going to be enough changes in force due to players being cup-tied or barred from playing, in the case of JB, that we're not going to make too many more changes than that which is already enforced, is my opinion on it. I think we'll make the three that we have to make, maybe one more, maybe at an absolute push two more, but no more than that. I expect Whittaker to start. I expect Hardy to start, as long as neither of them have been sold by Friday. I expect they'll both start. I expect it'll be Hazard in goal. Maybe Lewis Gibson coming back in is the only other one I could see if he's fit for a start. But yeah, it'll be a strong team, I think, and it'll be probably quite close to our first choice team in the circumstances, factoring in those who are not allowed to play.
I'm actually really annoyed there because I thought for the first time ever I was going to be able to correct you properly when you said that JB was cup tied, and then you came in and said he's barred from playing anyway. I was so close to doing it. Obviously, on that actually, is there much point in, like, if you're Callum Burton, what are you thinking if you're not picked again for another cup tie? Like, what's the point in him being here?
Everyone has to have a third choice keeper. It's probably not a very fun role, but you know, he's still getting paid a lovely wedge to turn up the training every day and travel around the country and watch Argyle. I wouldn't mind having his job. Look, I'm being a bit sarcastic with that. He is a player who played regularly for us in a title-winning season, so I do, you know, despite that attempt at humour, I do feel a little sorry for him in that respect. But we're taking the cup seriously, and Connor Hazard's a better keeper than him. So, I don't think he can have any complaints in that respect.
And he's also currently the second choice keeper, isn't he? You know, because
Cooper's injured.
Only takes an injury. Was it the other week? You know, Hazard went down. We weren't sure how serious the injury was, and the Devonport started singing his name. You know, Super Callum Bird. Where's he going to go? And sort of, is he going to go to another Championship club? No. So yes, he's riding the bench, but he's earning, like Sam says, earning a decent wage. He has the potential to come on and sort of play a run of games in the Championship. And yes, he wants to play. And these are the cup games are the ones where he might think, well, this is my most realistic chance. But it doesn't detract from the fact that he's still potentially, you know, one injury away from a good run in the team. But if Hazard were to be out for quite a while.
Yeah, obviously, Ben, another question that Sam's basically answered. Obviously, we've played Leeds already this season. First part of that is do you expect many changes, differences from our last trip? Not in personnel, but just in terms of style and play. Obviously, we do have a new head coach. I don't know if you've noticed. Obviously, watching Leeds on Sky a lot this season because they seem to be on every week. I previously wondered why they moan so much, and then they seem to be on genuinely on TV every week. I mean, their game against us has been moved, hasn't it? It's like a 12:30 kickoff. That is absolutely ridiculous. But then again, can't help geography, I suppose. Not giving Sky an easy time. I'm wondering a bit with this question. Obviously, watching them try and break down teams and that set up defensively, they make it look incredibly hard. Do you see us potentially having more success there under Foster than Schumacher?
Yeah, I definitely do. But I mean, you know, they had a hatful of chances or half chances or, you know, should have done better with a lot. And then they were, you know, the fans were whistling for the final, you know, for the full-time whistle come the end. So, you know, they don't put teams away. We've seen that numerous times this season. If they'd been more clinical and if they'd been more ruthless, they'd certainly be in, you know, clear in second spot or maybe even challenging for first spot. So you can assume that the same tendencies are going to be there for, you know, in the cup game. That's, they're not going to change who they are, and the manager's not going to change who he is. So yeah, definitely we've got a better chance with Foster. We've seen, I think, already the last couple of games that there's an organisation. I mean, just wonderful not seeing clear passing lanes from the middle third of the pitch to the box. You know, just the last couple of games of simple things like that, sort of seeing curves of banks of defensive setup and sort of cohesion amongst the different parts of the pitch, sort of people moving in teams. You know, that's just with two games and obviously a few days. On the training ground. So yeah, definitely feel like there's more of a chance. It feels almost a completely different scenario, but you know, when Derek Adams took us to Liverpool and we got that weird result, it was a weird result, it was a great result, but like it everyone moaned about the fact that Stephen McManaman moaned about the fact, not everybody, we loved it, that we sort of just played the role that we did and played a certain brand of football. I'm not suggesting we'll go there and be boring, but it's actually a great opportunity, if you think about it, for him to drill his side in what he wants. And if, yes, there will be players who are cup tied or ineligible, but you know, for everyone else who plays, like your fullbacks, etc., it's a wonderful opportunity to say, look, we are going to, you know, try and attack, but I really want you to use this as an exercise in, you know, getting minutes under your belt in this system, in these tactics. And it can be, you know, it can be a really useful game to sort of do that in a competitive environment rather than on the training pitch, because you only really get that experience, in competitive games. So it could be a really, you know, useful. It could be one of those sort of backs to the wall, great cup ties for us, you know, in sort of recent history.
Yeah, last question for you then, Sam, before we do score predictions. Nice, quick and easy one. What colour chinos are you going for? Are you going back with your beige ones?
I'm going to be only wearing jeans. There's going to be no risk of chinos again. Aaron, this isn't a question. Can I make another point I would like to make about this game, if that's okay? I know no. We all want to get to bed, but it will be 2 minutes, maybe?
No. Go on.
I really think... Okay. I don't know if you remember after the Leeds podcast, where I talked about, and I'm already picturing John Allstop listening to this giggling, the impact of para on the team, which is, if any of you don't really remember it, para is the cycling phenomenon whereby an athlete will just lose all energy, lose all mental power, and will just collapse. And a lot of people on our Twitter replies appreciated my slightly unusual speech about para. And Aaron, for the benefit of those not watching on YouTube, Aaron is laughing now, even hearing me talk about it. And I think it's important because, look, for all we can talk about how we left defensive holes open under Schumacher, let's not rewrite history too much. The Schumacher era was largely very good, fearless, enjoyable to watch. And in no game apart from one did I feel that we crumbled under the occasion and that aspect of para crept into our play. And that one game was Elland Road. Now, granted, yes, Ian Foster was in much sunnier climes at the time and probably wasn't watching that game. But many people, Neil Dewsnip, Kevin Nanskerville, the leadership group will have been telling him about what happened in that game. And I think if he's watched it back, he will see that unlike any, even Leicester, I think, you know, when we conceded three goals in a short space of time, I feel that was just their quality being a bit too good for us, fused with a couple of individual errors. Only once in the entire Schumacher era, Wembley as well. But only once this season under Schumacher have I seen our players just completely shrink under pressure. And that was at Elland Road. So I think Ian Foster will be telling them that. And I think Ian Foster will be saying to them, I think you've got a bit of a point to prove from the last time we went there. And, you know, do this a bit better. By all means, you know, enjoy it and soak in the feeling of playing in front of a big, big, intimidating crowd. But don't lose yourself in the moment. And I think it's very important not that we do not once again suffer from para as we did in November.
It's a good job Joe's not here to sort of tell you how much he thinks that Paraja is as big a bunch of cowpat as XG and the moon landing.
Although you are actually here to subtly correct my incorrect pronunciation of it, which I do appreciate you for. But
I don't even know if that's the correct pronunciation. I'm trying to remember. I'm sure John will remember. Next time John's on, he'll certainly bring it up and correct you for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not one to correct pronunciations, especially of foreign languages. And Spanish is not my forte. I mean, I can barely speak English. Let's finish up with a couple of score predictions then, or maybe a triple of score predictions if I get my my own in. Let's start with you, Ben. Go on. Scores on the doors.
Oh, these ones are so hard. You don't know what sides are going to play, do you? Fozzie's Monster Greens are going to pull a cup set and nick it late on 2-1.
We're going to win, but the same scoreline as under Foster to get two wins so far. 3-1
to Argyle. Yeah, I'm going to go for a rare clean sheet. A Callum Burton clean sheet. I don't know why I'm saying that. That's not going to happen. I'm going to go 1-0 Argyle because I have to. And we have to be a bit partisan, don't we? A bit green-tinted spectacles. But anyway, I think that's the end of another preview episode of Green and White brought to you by Argyle Life. Make sure you subscribe to us on all of your major podcast platforms and on YouTube. Click that little red button. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. And I don't even know what the next game is after Leeds, but we'll be back to review Leeds and then the Swansea. Yeah, and then we'll
Swansea.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. The win is coming.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.